Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome, everyone, and this is the Power Your Life radio show, and I'm Dr. Joanne White, and it is a pleasure to be here today, and I hope all of you had wonderful holidays and wishing everybody a really happy new year. And as we're moving into the new year, what better way to start our show looking for achievement and transformation and transition? And I have two very wonderful guests who really are very well versed in these areas and are going to help you figure out a lot in terms of what you can do to move forward in your career, your businesses, and in your life. My first guest is Janice Coleman, who is the president and CEO of Janice Coleman Corporation. She's which is also the Philadelphia host of the internationally acclaimed Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Janice is also a respected adjunct career consultant with Right Management, and she's appeared on ABC 6 show, Mary Talks Money. She assists both corporations and individuals to achieve their goals by maximizing the human resource potential through keynotes, training, and professional career services. Janice, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon, Joanne.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well.
Thank you for asking. All right, good. So we're both on the right track.
Yes, we're on the right track, and we're looking forward. Everybody's kind of moving ahead towards the new year. We're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions because that's something that people sometimes have a hard time holding to, but what we are going to talk about is how people can move forward. And let's get a little bit of history about how you started this corporation and also got involved with the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, because that's something that's been going on and really is receiving some wonderful reviews.
Well, I'll start with thank you for asking those questions with regard to how I started. Our company, Janice Coleman Corporation, stands by the fact that we are preparing people to perform. And it was from the situation where I found myself in a career that wasn't necessarily a bad career, but it wasn't a career for which I was 100% suited. I did what I did well, yet I found that I was not being fulfilled as a person or as a professional. So I moved from one career to another career, and from information technology into education and training, and became an adjunct consultant with Right Management. And I did a few trainings here and there in the Philadelphia area and aligned myself with some colleges. I went back into full-time work after about 7 years and found myself in a situation where a lot of people find themselves right now, which is being laid off. And so after being laid off and soul searching and all that kind of stuff, I decided that it was time for me to move forward with what I really love to do, which was training, career coaching, and the whole nine yards. And so the Janice Coleman Corporation was rebirthed. And from there, we have been preparing people to perform in a lot of different venues in the Philadelphia, greater Philadelphia area. And so that's how we started.
Okay, I have a question for that, because in terms of preparing people to perform, that's not only your mission statement for your company, that's your motto, and that's what you stand behind as an organization, a corporation. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for people, for businesses?
Well, what it means for both people and businesses is that we all have core competencies, and oftentimes people will find themselves doing things that they have to do versus doing things that they like to do or want to do. And so what we seek to get individuals and businesses to understand is the appreciation of what it is that they're designed to do. When you are doing what you're designed to do and you're doing it well, then you are really ready to perform. You can take your game, if you will, to the next level because you have the capacity, all of us have the capacity within us to be able to do marvelous things. But when we're not in the zone, when we're not in our zone, when we're not in the sweet spot where we really shine, we're not performing at our top, at the top
of
our game.
When you say designed to do what we're meant to do, are you talking about our talents and our inner strengths? What do you mean by that?
Exactly both of those, Joanne. Say, for instance, I always use the analogy of a doorstop. Now, if there's a door that needs to be held open, you can use a chair to hold that door open, right?
Sure.
You can use a chair and prop the door open. But the chair is not designed to prop a door open. It can, but it's not designed to do that. A doorstop is designed specifically to prop a door open. So therefore, the doorstop, when used for that purpose, is doing what it's designed to do and doing it well. You can use a chair, but I think a chair is overkill for holding a door open on a consistent basis. So the same thing with individuals. We have so many gifts and talents within us. Some of those gifts and talents will emerge because it's the lowest hanging fruit, and it can emerge. But there may be some gifts and talents within us that are deep inside of us that are the real crux of who we're designed to be. And when we can embrace those, and when we can cultivate those and allow those things to come forth and to be developed and shaped with the help of other people who may be gifted in helping us to shape and develop our skills and talents, we can find ourselves performing way beyond what we thought we ever could because we're now at a position to show forth the talent that we really have to offer to the world.
So I totally agree with you that we all have these gifts and talents that are so precious and that are very individualized. I'm also amazed sometimes, Janice, that some people don't really know what those gifts and talents are. You would think that people do, and sometimes, like you did some soul searching with yourself in terms of finding the right placement. Sometimes people have to learn and understand how to go through that process to really access those gifts. In your training, how do you do that? How do you help people get a hold of those precious gifts, those precious talents that are within so that they can be all that they can be in a beautiful way and also be happy at it too?
Well, you know what? I agree with you 100%, Joanne, that a lot of people really never get the opportunity to embrace who they are, and they don't realize the satisfaction of the realization of their gifts. A lot of that comes from not being in an environment, whether it's a household environment, a school environment, or a work environment, that really promotes the development of gifts. Oftentimes people find something that makes money, and they go after making money, and there's nothing wrong with making money. But, to the detriment sometimes of really cultivating a gift, a person could be pushed into a certain line of work that may yield a great income, but it really is not where their gifting is. So in our work workshops, one of the things that we ask people to do or we share, depending upon what type of workshop it is, oftentimes we will say, well, you know, think about what you're really good at and don't minimize anything that you think may be small. Because if it is something that you're good at, that might be very well be the gift that needs to be cultivated. You know, so we ask people to think about the things that they can cultivate, that they're good at doing. We also ask people to shake off the things that other folks may have said about what they are capable of doing, because, you know, a lot of times people can shame you into hiding a gift. And they can
call. That's interesting. I'm thinking about that. People can shame you into hiding a gift. That's very profound. Can you expound upon that a little bit? Because I think that again, a lot of people do fall into, okay, this is what I got to do because I was told I can't do something else or whatever. So shame that. Can you really talk about that a little bit? I think that's so important.
Well, it's interesting because, say, for instance, if a person is growing up and they're very talkative, they may have family members, friends, teachers who could say, "Shut up! You talk too much. You talk too much. You're always in the middle of something. You're always talking too much." And instead of saying, "You're a good communicator. You really communicate well." And then a parent or a teacher could say, "How can I help cultivate this child so that they can take the gift of quote unquote gab?" See how they use that, the gift of gab, which is kind of demeaning. They could say that you have the gift of gab. That's demeaning. Instead of saying you have the capacity or the ability to communicate well. So how can I take this child that has the gift of gab and help them to become a great orator,
a great lawyer, somebody that really relies on very profound communication skills?
Exactly.
And, you know,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I'm just thinking because so often teachers and parents have so many throwaway kinds of statements, they don't realize the extent of what that does to a person growing up and how that really impacts what that person believes about themselves. So a lot of it is really kind of diminishing those statements that you're talking about.
So the person who has the gift of gab is basically taught to hide that gift, to diminish that gift and not cultivate that gift. But what about the person who, or the young child, and we're talking about how people grow into this, what about the young child who is quote-unquote bossy?
And that child is told he or she is bossy and needs to stop it rather than, again, extolling what? Somebody who could
leadership.
Be a great leader?
Yes, exactly.
What were you told when you were younger?
Oh, when I was younger, I was told a lot of things. some of it had to do with me and my ability or my gift of gab. I also remember one of my favorite teachers always telling me that I was the, how do you say it? He said I was the jack of all trades and the master of none. Now, what do you think about that phrase? If somebody tells
now
you
that,
you're a jack of all trades.
That could be offensive. That
yeah,
that,
but,
that,
you know, that you'll never grow up to be good at anything.
Right. So how did
you
respond to that?
Well, you think about it. And I wasn't that young of a child when he was saying I was in my teenage years. But think about when someone said something like that to you, how that can impact your capacity to embrace perfecting something. you get to the precipice of perfection and you say, oh, well, you know, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so said I will be a jack of all trades, but never a master of any. So, again, that is shaming a person with regard to their abilities.
Totally, totally true. And it's a shame because maybe a jack of all trades means, rather than a master of none, maybe it means that you are versatile and can pick up
yes.
anything quickly and proficiently and run with it and then develop mastery in that particular area, but he neglected that
exactly.
last part.
Exactly. He flipped it around to my detriment if I had let that happen. He flipped it around to be detrimental to me in comparison to be empowering to help me to achieve.
But you showed everybody, right?
Well, you know, I'm still in the process of showing, but thank you, Joanne. Yeah, I'm still in the process of showing everybody.
Well, I think we're in process all the time, so it's important.
Yeah. I think we are.
I wanna shift to hosting the Chick-fil-A Leadercast, because that's something that you've been doing now. This is the second year, I believe, or right?
This is our second year, and it's a wonderful event. We actually have our tickets are all we're already on sale. Our
when is
bird
it?
Special. It's May 4th, 2012, and we have our super early bird special currently going on. And if anybody's interested in it, they can get tickets at www.janicecoleman.com/leadercast, LEADERCAST, janicecoleman.com/leadercast. Leadercast is a wonderful one-day event where there's a myriad of leaders, experts from around the world, who come together in Atlanta, Georgia, and they simulcast this event at approximately 500 locations around the country. And we are taking Philadelphia by storm. So we are Leadercast, Chick-fil-A Leadercast, Greater Philadelphia, and it's being held at Villanova University this year, and one of the main speakers is John Maxwell, who is a leadership expert, and he's a wonderful,
right.
Wonderful gentleman. So, and,
you know, that's very exciting. And what got you involved with that?
Well, I had attended the Leadercast for several years, and the year before. 2010 and 2009, the location where I had attended stopped offering the event. And so I had been pursuing them, trying to get them to offer the event. Why can't you offer Leadercast? Why can't you offer Leadercast? And they kind of, you know, shuffled me from person to person and never really gave me an answer. And then last year, when I saw the information about Leadercast coming in May of 2011, I just said, you know what, we've got to do this. And so I collaborated with a colleague, and we just decided that we were going to do it. That if nobody else was going to do it, we were going to do it. And so what we did was we just got ourselves a venue, and we started promoting it, and you know, one thing turned into another. It was a wonderful event. Logistically, we went off without a hitch, and we're very excited about it. And so we are in our second year, and, you know, we found it to be a wonderful event for helping people to become better leaders and to do what they do more effectively.
Now, you talk about leaders and leadership, so I want to just shift gears just a little bit. How does somebody become, in 2 minutes, right, Janice?
Yes.
How does somebody become a better leader? What are some of the dimensions to that, in your mind?
Well, I'm really a leadership disciple of John Maxwell and several other leaders, like Jeremy Kubitschek, who wrote a book called Leadership is Dead and How to Revive It, and you know, and a few other leaders like Seth Godin and Jim Collins. And a lot of what they teach about leadership, I'll talk about John Maxwell, because what, you know, when we decided, and I say we, I'm talking about Iris Design, the president and CEO being Lemuel Winter Woodson Jr., and he and I collaborated with regard to LeaderCast. And one of the things that John Maxwell teaches or has taught in the LeaderCast environment is the five levels of leadership. And the five levels of leadership, if you want to become a better leader, the first thing you need to do is to assess where you are with regard to your capacity to lead. Because you can't move further until you know where you are.
Right, and that's so true of anything, too, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So if a leader wants to know, wants to be better, they really have to start, they have to figure out where they are. So if you're on the five levels of leadership, the first level is permission. The first level is position. And people are going to follow you just because of the title you have. But if you want to be a better leader than the title, you have to gain people's trust to get to the place of having permission to lead them.
So let's
and
just go over.
Okay.
Let's just go over the. You were talking about the five levels, or just your own working definition, because we only have about 2 or 3 minutes, and I want to make sure that we cover what your definition is, even though you aspire to the people that
their definition.
Like John.
Okay.
And I've read a lot of the people that you're talking about, but let's get to the Janice Coleman definition of leadership.
Well my definition of leadership, I do really ascribe to this though. Leadership is influence, the capacity to get people to do a task or to believe a thing for their good and the betterment of others.
You know, I love that because I aspire to that, too, and I think that's so true.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I believe, Joanne, that as leaders, we have to be able to help people to get to a better place.
And in this particular environment, Janice, and the way that our world is, I think it sounds very simplistic, but on many levels it's both simplistic and profound, because people do need to be able to see that there's something in it for them and there's something in it for others as well. And I totally ascribe to that, and I think that's so right on. We have about a minute, and you and I can talk for hours, as we know, but I want to make sure that we cover this. Are there any lasting comments that you would like to leave our listening audience with? And again, tell people how they can get a hold of you, in touch with you, your website, and also sign up for some of the events like the LeaderCast program with Chick-fil-A.
Okay, well, LeaderCast is one thing that we're doing, and also we have career triage, where a person, if their career is in the ER, the emergency room, they can come to career triage and we can help them get out. So our website is www.janicecoleman.com. And the last thing that I would say with regard to this new year coming up is that if people want something different, and we've heard this a million times, if you want something different, you have to do something differently. And so we are in a place of embracing the change that's necessary to impact the changes, the world the way it is and the way it's going to be. There's a lot of things happening. You know, our young people, I know you have a heart for young people. We also have a heart for young people. The young people need our help. You know, we're in the midst of an initiative right now with regard to that in the Philadelphia area. And we're just excited about what's going to happen, because, you know, if you put the effort and energy in, Joanne, the positive side of it, you will get the positive results. And so I'm so excited about all of the things that are happening with you and your company and your practice and your speaking engagements, your radio show. And I'm excited about what's happening with Janus Coleman Corporation and our partners, one of which is Chick-fil-A. We just had a meeting this morning with Bob Finelli and Market
and
East.
I'm going to cut you off, and I don't mean to be impolite. I am so excited about what you bring to the table and certainly what you're going to be offering and continue to offer to leaders, prospective leaders, to young leaders. We were talking about youth, to people. I love that leadership. I love that triage. The ER.
Yeah, career triage.
Career triage. I love that. That's a wonderful, just a wonderful way of looking at it. If you're in trouble, if your career is in trouble, there's an answer. There's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And Janus Coleman Corporation has some wonderful, profound answers that are going to help people move forward in the new year. Janus, it's been a wonderful blessing. I wish we had more time. And probably have you on the show again.
Okay.
Have a wonderful new year, and thanks for sharing all your wonderful information with our listening audience.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day and the remainder of your show.
Thanks. You take care. Folks, we're still going to talk about moving forward in maximizing our potential. We're going to talk about how to make some profound changes and transformations in our lives. And it's really important, Janice was talking about, as we move forward, our world, as we know it, is in the process of change. And the people that are emerging, the true leaders that are emerging, like Janus Coleman Corporation, Tracy Booker, Enterprises, these are people that really understand what that's all about in terms of the change and are on board with it. And so you can get on board with it too. Tracy Booker is an author and a speaker. She's the president and the CEO of Tracy Booker Enterprises, also the host of a popular radio show, Restored, Renewed, and Transformed with Tracy Booker. It's an internet show. She's also the executive director of Metamorphosis, Inc., which is a nonprofit service organization that administers to both women and girls through life transitions. And Tracy has a lot to tell us about transition and her own transition and how to help people move through it. Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am here. How are you, Joanne?
I'm doing so well. How are you? Happy New Year. Well, a little premature, but we're moving through it. How are you? So tell us a little bit. You know, I always tell people that stories, the human story, is very important in terms of how people got from where they were to where they are right now. And you certainly have a personal story. So can you share that with people, how you went through your own transformation, your own transition, really?
Absolutely. First of all, let me thank you for having me as a guest on your show. I am elated and I am humbled by this wonderful opportunity to talk in terms of transformations and transitions, change, and all those things. I believe.
My pleasure.
Yes. I believe that in every life, we certainly experience a number of transformations. For me, what is most seemingly prevalent is watching my life unfold on a level that many would probably say is religious, but I know it to be spiritual because of relationship and a more in-depth way of thinking, mindset, and moving from being an obese and overweight child into adulthood and experiencing all of the things that come along with that as far as self-esteem and various issues, low self-esteem, low self-worth, and
shielding yourself and even hiding and putting on this front in order to exist in the world, certainly those negatives do not make for good life and good living. So somewhere along the line for me, as I grew and matured into an adult and furthered my education and prepared myself for the world, let me first of all say I am a baby boomer. I'm right on the cusp of the last of the baby boomers born in the early 60s. And moving into the Generation X, age of information and all these different things, found that in order for me to live a purposeful life, I was going to have to change my mindset. It was not going to be a situation where I could live, and if I can refer to what you and the first guest spoke about in terms of dumbing yourself down or playing small, that just was not going to make it. And I had issues in regards to the weight and those personal situations that made me just, at some point in time, just get tired of being tired, of living.
You know, I wanted to focus on that for a moment, because getting tired of being tired, you're talking not just about you, but I'm seeing and hearing about so many other people who, whatever, it may not be weight, it may be something else, that just get so tired of whether it's their habits or something that they that's within them that they really have been living with for so long, and it's not working, as we said earlier. And so it's about taking a look at that, and you had to do that with weight and with certainly with self-esteem. So I just wanted to focus on that just for a minute, because I think that's so very important to people.
It really is. And whether we look at it as a habit, or if we look at it as some sort of addiction, let me first say a couple of things about the word transformation itself. One of the very elementary or even mundane definitions of that word is to change in form, appearance, nature, or character. And to me, that is a well-rounded, very pointed definition that speaks to a number of things in our lives, and certainly that is what I had to do, to see that I had all of this, a brilliant mind, not be afraid to step forward and use it, to step out, take a risk, and be comfortable with what I know and what I was doing, and to transform my life. Because if I had not joined, I would be a pretty pitiful person right about now. I would not be able to help myself, let alone to help anyone else. So, you know, I had to get rid of the ego. You know, I had to move in a way that suggests forward motion. And that is not to say that I have totally arrived. This is something you deal with every day, but when you can deal with it on a higher level of thinking, a higher level of movement, even a higher level of manifestation, that's what makes the difference. And you can see where you've come from.
Yes, because we're always, as I said earlier, we're always in process. We're always moving forward. Hopefully, I believe that if we're not, we might as well be dead. So we're always actually doing that. But you talk a lot, Tracy, about transition, and you say something that I think is very profound. Transition is the transaction that leads to transformation. Now, I've done a lot of work with transition and studied transition as you have. And transition is a real, very, it has steps to it. And you talk about three phases. I've learned it as five phases, so we'll go into that a little bit. But let's talk about that, because you had to go through those steps. And oftentimes I talk about those steps almost as taking a look at it as steps that people go through when they're going through somewhat of a grieving experience, because the feelings that are behind each of those steps are very, very profound. So let's talk a little bit about the steps that people go through, because let's say anybody anybody today, whether it's in business or personal life, they want to change. They want to move forward. They're stuck, and as you said earlier, they've identified something within themselves that it's just, it's enough. They can't do it anymore. What kind of steps, as they're moving through transition, can these people expect so that they don't give up when the going gets tough?
Absolutely. Well, first, I believe you have to take introspection, see where you are in your life. And once you do that, get a good understanding of, you know, where you are and where you're wanting to move to, and you're not afraid to take that step. There must be an ending to the old way, the old you. And this is the place where you really acknowledge that, you know, what the losses are, you know, from the old way. And then you let go of that. You let go of the familiar. You come out of your comfort zone.
Before you do that, though, I want to alert people to this, because I work, as you do, I work with clients and people who will go through that first stage, which really can be incredibly painful. As you said, it's about loss. It's about letting go. And I don't want to minimize the fact that people during this stage can feel very lost, and letting go of everything that they held dear or believed is not an easy feat. So you're going to have to recognize, and this is important, that there's that emotional piece, but to remember that's temporary. But to also remember that it's important to know that if you're going through that, it's okay. It's like grief. It's like mourning. It's like a death.
Yes, indeed. And I just, you know, as I'm giving you these steps here, just thinking about it, many times we experience issues in life, and we say, this feels like somebody died, you know. And the grieving process itself, coming to grips with those stages of grief, and I'm sorry I don't have all of them here, but, you know, the denial, the anger, the various things that you go through in order to get to the acceptance point, and letting go of that familiar place and that comfort zone. And, you know, then there's a place where it may feel, for lack of a better term, I'll say a neutral zone, or a place of being neutral. Where
now, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that the old situation, it no longer exists, and then as you're moving into the new place, it's not yet comfortable.
So the new place isn't formed, the old place isn't there, you're kind of in limbo.
Kind of in limbo.
Right?
And I think yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that, for just personally speaking, has been one of the most dangerous places to be, because sometimes you want to run back to comfortable. But when you can really get in your mind to move forward, you will push forward. And that's part of that risk-taking I was talking about, where it's not comfortable.
The place of limbo, let's stay there a minute before we go to moving forward, because I think that like you said, Tracy, a lot of people get to that place and they don't feel anything. It's kind of like you're talking about that neutral zone. It's like a dead zone. There's not a lot of energy there. The old doesn't exist. And like you said, they move backwards because they need to have something. How do you tell people in that stage to hold on? What kind of advice or confirmation or affirmation can you give people during that particular time to help them through that very uncomfortable? It is one of the most uncomfortable stages to go through.
Absolutely, it certainly is. One of the words that you just used is key for me. And that is affirmation. I know that we must consistently talk to ourselves, and that does not mean audibly, but we must speak to the consciousness and the subconsciousness where we come out the winner. The affirmation must be, I can do whatever it is, or I will be successful. And if you'll allow me to utilize a paraphrase, even a scripture from the Holy Bible that says, speak those things that were, that are not as though they were. Speak those things that are not as though they were. In other words, speak it into existence. I am a firm believer, and even can go as far as to say that I know that with consistent affirming a thing, affirming the positive, that will come into being. And it is also true on the other end of that too. Self-defeating remarks and situations, if you say that long enough, if you believe it long enough, that becomes your reality. So,
you know,
in my work,
I totally agree with that. I wanted to say that in your work.
Yeah. And I was going to say, yeah, in my work with, and typically over a number of years, it has been with youth and women primarily, and in taking the dynamics and the experiences and just life changes that the clients go through, affirmation is so important. And then along with affirmation comes application. You can't just talk it. You've got to begin to put it into motion. You see it, you affirm it, you've got to put it into motion bit by bit. You know, it may not be the biggest thing that you start out with and you get to the great victory right off the cuff, but I believe that part of the beauty is moving from, you know, step by step by step and seeing the growth. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say the last piece there is if, you know, we take in transitioning, we understand the ending. If we get to the affirmation and the application, we can get to manifestation and new beginnings for ourselves. We'll see a great emergence, a great evolution of self, a great evolution of mind, and a more positive state of being. And I believe that transformation at that point, from the transition, the transformation is the state of being that we live in.
And again, people have to go through the process and get past the discomfort and get past that kind of no man's land, if you will. I want to shift gears a little bit because you also have a nonprofit service organization, Metamorphosis Inc. I love the terminology there. Can you talk a little bit about what that does and how that serves women and girls?
Yeah. Metamorphosis, the word itself is indicative of change and transformation. And in the nonprofit organization, it serves girls and women, mostly at this point, girls starting at the age of 8 to 18. And our emphasis right now is on the battle with overweight and obesity, which is an epidemic among our young people in the United States. I started out with this organization in Birmingham, Alabama. And what was so prevalent is that Alabama is listed as the second fattest state in the union, right behind the neighboring state of Mississippi. And particularly in the African-American community, I was seeing in what I had lived through, and that was issues that were deeply rooted and manifested themselves by way of the way I handled them through eating, and I kept a lot of things to myself. It didn't matter that my parents were telling me, anything you want to talk about, you can talk about it. My parents are great, just let me say that. But I was afraid, and I see that fear among so many of our young women. And when I see the symptom, I know that there's something that we must get to that is deeper than the system. There's something deeply rooted when our young people just eat and eat and eat for no good reason. There's always a reason. So that's
you
what
know,
we're doing. We're
mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the weight. It's also the eating disorders that accompany that, because at the same age and even younger than 8 years old, we're seeing children who have all sorts of eating disorders, bulimia, and other kinds of disorders, and they're really ruining. I mean, people think, well, it's not, it's simple, but they're really ruining their bodies internally through what they're doing to themselves. So I think it's such a very important mission, I'll say, to really work with these girls early on to help them make that change.
It's true. It is so true. If we can get it early, then we've I believe gotten to half of the battle at least, and can impress upon our young people that silence is not always golden. We've been told that's an old adage, an old cliche. Silence is golden. It is not always golden. There are mental blockages, just as you say, there are eating disorders, and one that I even identify with and can spot it many times is compulsive eating. You know, it's just the emotional thing. Oh, I'm just not having a good day. I reach for cookies. I reach for the sugar. I reach for the carbs. But it is important for us to, within Metamorphosis Incorporated, to move with programs such as the Body Works program, which is sponsored by the Office on Women's Health. It is a federally funded organization that speaks to just what we're talking about. It trains parents so that the parent is aware, and it brings in the young people the family to work together, to shop together, plan meals together, get moving together. And then I'm also in partnership with Metamorphosis Incorporated, working with Girls Incorporated of Guilford County. And then there is the Commit to Be Fit program with Girls Incorporated. You can find Girls Incorporated all over the United States and in some foreign countries. But that particular issue, youth overweight and obesity, is a battle that we must win for life's sake.
That's true, because, again, it doesn't just affect somebody's self-esteem and feelings about oneself. It affects their future, if they have a future, because it affects their health. It brings up so many diseases that young people are beginning to have because of being overweight. So it's so very, very, very important. I want to shift one more time with you, actually maybe twice, two more. You recently co-authored Sister to Sister, A Guide for Afro-American Girls. What's your message in that book?
My message is very personal, and I start out by talking again, and we're speaking in terms of these young women who are battling not only being overweight and obese, but they're also battling sexual molestation. That's my story. And that is the reason that happened. I was a happy-go-lucky kid. And, you know, what we see is young women who need to be restored, they need to be renewed, they need to be revived, they need to be transformed in their thinking as to how to deal with the bulimia, how to deal with the family member or neighbor who has touched them inappropriately, how to get a new lease on life and understand it is not their fault when they're a child, 7, 8 years old, and they have not enticed anyone to do these type of things, and how to understand not to let someone take advantage of them, bully them, be in control of them. And
you know,
emphasis there.
That's, yeah, and it's really important, because a lot of children that have been young girls that have been, even boys, because we're seeing that all over, that have been sexually abused, have been silent And oftentimes, and this is very tragic, when they bring that up in the family, they're not believed. And so not only are they silenced, but they feel that there's something wrong with them, as you said. So it's a wonderful job that you're doing, and it's so very, very, very important. Tell us about what you can attribute to your transition, to your success, because you've had to battle all of this that you're talking about, overweight, sexual abuse, and come out on top and look what you're doing. How have you managed to do that so that you can offer other people that gift of, hey, look at me, what you're doing in all the work that you do, but what's your secret?
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily know so much of a secret. Number one, I will say I spoke a few minutes ago in terms of two great parents. And in my upbringing, I was inundated with lots of positive ideologies, spiritual background that spoke to being victorious, being an overcomer, being one who could conquer and one who would master all things that are negative and to move forward. And my struggle in all of that, Joanne, was knowing I'd been taught this but still dealing with those other issues. And just as I said in regards to the transition and moving towards transformation, I had to pull from that in order to get to where I am today. After having spent maybe 20, 25 years in corporate America, after being laid off in certainly kind of crazy economic times and climates over the years, after being laid off 5 times, there was something that finally clicked in my head and said, maybe you don't need to be doing this for someone else. You've got all of these great attributes and all this great experience. Go for yourself. And I love giving service. I love working in a sense of compassion and just working with people. And on top of that, I am in ministry. So
you're doing a wonderful job. I want you to tell people, because we're running out of time here, Tracy, and again, there's so much here, and there's so much that people can learn from your personal experience and all that you do with your ministry and ministering to others and girls. How do people reach you? How do people get a hold of Tracy Booker Enterprises and find out more of everything that you do to help people?
Sure. Website, there are two. I'll give you here, TracyBooker.com, and that's Tracy, TracyBooker.com. And then that's for the parent company, Tracy Booker Enterprises, LLC. And then there's the nonprofit Metamorphosis Incorporated. And that website is, I'll spell it, M like Mary, E-T-A-M-O-R, the number 4, letter S like Sam, I-N-C.com. And I can be emailed at Tracy@TracyBooker.com, or you can call the toll free at 888-852-8083.
Tracy, it's been a pleasure. You're very courageous, and thank you for all that you do to help others, and I wish you a blessed new year, and thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on my show.
Joanne, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. And
it always is every time we get together, right?
yes. Just lovely. Thank you again. And it has been
my
pleasure for to power my life. How about that?
Well, and you know what? You are powering your life each and every day, and you're helping other women and girls do the same. So kudos to you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Folks, we're talking about change and metamorphosis and transition and achievement and transformation. And think about this as we move forward into 2012, not about making New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But think about what is necessary something small, not something big, what's necessary that you need to consider or think about to move you ahead and to change something that is ready to be changed, that you're looked at, that you've been resistant to change, but you know inside your heart and your mind that it's time and you want to do it. I'm not saying, okay, lay out the steps yet. All I'm saying is, as both of our guests talked about, is to go through that assessment process, that initial one, to identify what it is that you'd like to shift. That's all I'd like you to do. And check me out on Facebook and LinkedIn. And also, next week I'm going to be at a panel group, so we're not having our Wednesday show, but we'll be back Wednesday, January 11th, for two very wonderful guests, Dr. Richard London, who is going to talk about leading visionary manifestation. He's that leading visionary manifestation business coach. And also with Susan Steinbrecher, who talks about Kensho, A Modern Awakening, and she's also an executive coach. And so we're going to help you move forward to do your transformation in the new year. And it's going to be a wonderful new year, so stay tuned. And while we're in 2011, take a moment, no matter where you are, take a moment to think about all the goodness within you. Forget about the change. Forget about the transformation. Think about something wonderful, some quality or qualities within you that make you feel good. And there's got to be one. There's got to be at least one. I'm a firm believer that we all have even more than one, but I want you to just take a moment to identify maybe one or two and to embrace that, to recognize that you have, as Janice Coleman and Tracy Booker said, you have the gifts and the knowledge and the ability within you. So take a look at that so that you can actually extol you and affirm the wondrous being that you are. It's been a pleasure to power your life and power my life, share my day with you, and thank you for tuning in. And talk to you again in 2012. Make this new year coming a blessed one, and allow yourself a moment to feel and acknowledge, as I said, your specialness. It's been great to be your host, Dr. Joanne White. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.